The following program is sponsored by Online Trading Academy of Kansas City.
Today's show is provided for entertainment and general information purposes. Opinions expressed are those of the presenter only. We make no promises or guarantees of investment performance. Online Trading Academy is not a broker-dealer, certified financial planner, or registered investment advisor. Online Trading Academy is the world's most trusted name in professional trader and investor education. Enjoy the show. Hello, future traders and investors, and welcome to Power Trading Radio. My name is Christopher Crum. I'm in studio today with the greatest co-host of any radio broadcast in the world, and his name is Mr. Matthew McGrath.
Hey there, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I am doing very well today.
You're looking well.
Thank you.
Hey, if you're brand new to the show, then you probably don't know that this show is actually fueled by my company, Online Trading Academy, and we've got 45 locations across the United States and abroad now, and we've been in business pushing 20 years, and you know, what we focus on at the Academy really are a couple of different things we like to teach our students. We're financial education centers, and so we're educating people about their finances, but more specifically, what to do with your money in the financial markets. And, of course, there are four major markets that you can put your money in. There's the stock market. There's also the global futures market. There's the option. There is the options market. Yeah. And there's the global currencies market, also known as the foreign exchange market, the Forex market, sometimes called the FX market. It's the largest market in the world. Over $500 trillion will change.
$5 trillion.
Oh. Yeah, you know, I was optimistic for today.
$5.1 trillion.
Okay. $5 trillion will change hands in that market pretty much every day that it's open, and it's open 6 days a week, Sunday through Friday. 23 hours a day on those days too. So, but that's what we focus on, teaching people what to do with their money in these markets. Of course, one thing that you can do, the sexy thing that we do at the Academy, is we teach people how to trade the financial markets. And trading is simply the act of buying and selling in the financial markets. And we all know how we make money buying and selling stuff. It doesn't matter if it's in the financial markets or if it's on eBay. We want to buy it lower than what we sell it for. Or in other words, we want to sell it higher than what we bought it for. Yeah. And that's how we create a profit from doing that.
It's that simple.
You already know how to do it. If you said that a lot right along with me, then you probably already know how to do it. You don't even need to listen to the show. But trading the markets, what we've come to believe, or at least what we teach at the Academy, is that it's an income-producing activity. And so we want to trade the financial markets, actively buy and sell daily, weekly, and monthly. And we leverage artificial price movements that occur in the market all of the time. And we want to do so to produce income of some kind. And it could be a situation where, because we do have a lot of students and graduates that really enjoy their profession, their chosen profession, something they've chosen to do. We've had doctors and attorneys that love what they do, school teachers, ministers, that really enjoy their careers. They enjoy their jobs. But, you know, some of these professions don't pay as much as you'd like. Even nowadays, sometimes we run into doctors that are disappointed with the kind of money that they're making.
Yeah.
And so they'd like to do some trading on the side to supplement their income.
Exactly.
Got people that do it all the time. And maybe it's so that they can buy, you know, have a better house so they can apply that supplemental income to a house payment.
Yeah.
Could be that you just wanted to do some traveling to exotic places.
Yeah.
That's on your bucket list. Maybe it's that dream car, or maybe you're like me and you like boats and you can't have enough boats, so you've got to trade to supply your boat head.
It's amazing. We have the students list in their mission statement of their trade plan why they're trading, and the ones that have a real reason why they're doing it always seem to do better. So I had a student recently who was wanting to start a charter school in the inner city, an all-boys school. And that's an example of, you know, a really good reason for trading.
Well, who was the student that we had that is the professional stunt pilot? What was his first name? I don't know why it's eluding me, because he's a...
Jeff, I believe.
Jeff, yeah. And, you know, Jeff, one of the reasons why he wanted to trade, not only to supplement his income, I think he makes a lot of money being a stunt pilot because he does these shows and people hundreds of thousands of people,
400,000 people
show up to these shows to watch him fly this death trap of a World War II fighter plane. But he wanted to open a World War II museum, right?
Yes.
And used his trading profits for that. So that was something that he was passionate about. But he's still going to keep his main job, which is that stunt pilot business that he's got.
It's amazing how many people do it for philanthropic reasons. I mean, they come here because
what'd you say?
Philanthropic.
Yeah,
they're philanthropists.
Okay.
And I had a student recently who is of Indian descent, Native American Indian descent, and he was wanting to do this to teach those in his tribe. How to trade to help them get on their feet again. I mean, it's just amazing.
Why didn't he just send him to Online Trading Academy? That's what we
do. I thought you were going to say, why not send him a check? but no, he wants to teach them. What has that saying? Oh, teach a man to fish, you'll feed him for a lifetime.
Right, right.
Give him a fish, you'll feed him for a day.
Eat for a day, right.
Yeah.
The other thing that we do is teach people how to invest in the financial markets. That's different than trading. Trading, we're actively buying and selling daily, weekly, monthly. Investing, you're actually buying a position in the markets. And it doesn't matter if you're doing it right now in your 401k, you're investing. What's happening in your 401k is you're putting your money into mutual funds, and then that fund manager is going out into the markets and choosing stocks to occupy space in those funds. And so they're actively buying and holding these assets for you. In that fund, but the investors that want to invest for themselves, they'll go out and choose assets, stocks, typically stocks or bonds, and then they'll buy those and they'll hold on to them for the duration of things. And of course, the problem with a buy and hold type of investment like that is that you are susceptible to market swings.
Right.
So the markets go down. What happens to the money in your account?
it goes
away. Right.
Yeah.
The markets go up. Well, then you're pretty satisfied with the return that you get. But we work with long-term investors so that they can learn how to manage risk in the markets. So that way, if the markets are going down, they don't have to skip a beat. They just keep on going. They can get their money back out of those assets, even if the asset is misvalued at the time or at a lower value. And they can put their money into assets that actually go up in value when markets decline.
Right. They actually make money in declining markets, and at the least, they learn how to insure their money in declining markets.
Right. So that's what we do. We work with traders that want to either supplement or replace their income, and we work with long-term investors that want to grow that wealth bucket for retirement so they can eventually, of course, become financially independent. And if either of those resonates with you, well, you know what? I invite you to check us out on the World Wide Web at TradingAcademy.com. That's T-R-A-D as in Dan, all one word. Hey, if you're a little confused about what you're doing right now, well, you're listening to Power Trading Radio with Christopher Crum and my co-host,
Matt McGrath.
So we talk about trading and investing in this show. We tell you about how it works. We want you to grab a hold of your seats, fasten your seatbelt, because it's going to be an awesome show today. Matt has assured me that he has a lot in store for you. So we're going to talk about some cool things. But you know what? Let's talk about the fun thing that we do. Because you know what? In the morning, I get up and I head to the kitchen and I make myself a cup of coffee. And then I pull up my laptop and then I pull up my professional trade, direct access trade platform. And I sit down there while I'm having my coffee and I put together four trades. That's my goal, 4-day trades each day. I want high-quality trades. I don't care about the quantity so much as I just want those four really high-quality trades that have some great attributes to them.
Right.
Things like low risk and high probability, meaning price is likely to go in the direction that I want it to go. And then I want high-reward trades. That's what quality means to me, is that when I'm right on these trades, I'm going to make a bunch of money on them. That's what's fun.
Yeah.
Now, it's not get rich quick overnight, right, Matt?
No, not at all.
When you're trading the futures market, do you ever go out there and look for that one opportunity that's going to turn you into a millionaire? You ever find yourself doing that?
No, I've never done that.
Because they don't.
Honestly say that's one of the mistakes I never made.
They don't exist.
No.
I mean, people all the time in the workshops that Matt and I teach, how many times do you run across people that they were going to buy this penny stock because this penny stock's going to become an apple, and then eventually their stock's going to split eight times,
right?
And it's going to be worth hundreds of dollars per share.
Well, and again, if we go through the psychology of why someone would do that, well, the number one reason, right, is they're not having to invest a lot of money. That's why they're in a penny stock to begin with,
right?
So they don't want to have to really invest any money,
right,
to make money. And then, again, there's the prospect of a huge reward. But, you know, I personally, and I've met over 5,000 traders in this community, in this job, as you can imagine, I meet a lot of traders. I don't know anyone who has gotten rich trading penny stocks. Do you?
No, of course not, because...
No, but I mean, you would think we would at least run into the aberration.
Yeah, I see what you're getting
to
at.
The one person.
Right, you think you'd run into that one anomaly, that one, just that one...
Right. Now, I do know... I have a business associate that used to drive a limousine, and occasionally I would use him. And he actually got rich on paper trading penny stocks. He invested in a restaurant chain, and he was up $40,000 on only a $500 investment. But to this day, and this was 2 years ago.
And when you say on paper, it's simulated trading. It's not real money.
No, it's real money. But when I say on paper, he's never been able to sell the shares.
Oh, gotcha.
And that's one of the problems with the penny stock market is that it's not a regulated exchange. You know, in a regulated exchange like the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ or the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, when you finally do go to sell – there is a buyer on the other side. That's one of the requirements to be a market maker.
The markets are comprised of willing buyers and willing sellers. And
well, in the penny stock market, there is no guarantee there's a buyer on the other side. So he was up on paper $40,000 for 2 years, and there still is no one on the other side of the trade who's willing to buy his shares.
Right.
And that's one of the many, many problems with trading penny stocks. Do you remember that movie that came out a few years ago, The Wolf of Wall Street? Leonardo DiCaprio was in. Again, that's what they were hustling is penny stocks.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and it's just so subject to market manipulation. But, you know, I would think in our careers we would have met someone who didn't you invest in a – I know you lost on it, but didn't you invest in a penny stock
you had to bring it
before
you
became educated?
I did. You know, the thing is that when I first got interested in trading, it was really more investing that I was interested in because we lost so much money in 2008. And I saw that these large banks and institutions, that they knocked it out of the park in 2000. They made billions of dollars.
Right.
Even after the government bailout that they had to have, otherwise they're going out of business.
Right.
Then they go out in the markets and they make billions of dollars from trading in the markets.
Right.
And in a market that's declining rapidly. And I'm thinking, well, if they do it for themselves, why don't they do it for me? And, of course, I know the answer to that nowadays because I've been exposed to all of our, you know, the people that teach the classes at the academy, they're people that come from Wall Street, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, and they've all been professionally trained. And Bob Dunn said it best, and Bob might be listening to our show out in Chicago today, but Bob said it best. He said, trading and investing, if you want to be to define successful trading investing, it's simply the transfer of money from the account of the person that doesn't know what they're doing and into the account of the person that does.
Yeah, from the uneducated to the educated.
Yeah, and so, but for me, that was my motivation. But I'm cheap. I've been in education, working in education my whole life, so I know a lot about learning things. I'm also, as you know, a very avid reader. I read several books a month, and I found myself at Barnes & Noble because I was interested in learning how the banks do it, because I didn't want to be in a position where Allison and I are, you know, stuck trying to figure out how we're going to pay the mortgage when we're 72 years old.
Right.
And I went to Barnes & Noble, had this whole huge financial section there, you know. This was before the days of Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you go to Amazon now. Last time I went to Amazon, there were 63,000, 24 titles that somehow relate to trading the financial markets, and they all claim to have the secret sauce, the silver bullet for success. Yeah, whatever.
Right.
You know, if they're so good at it, then listen to me like they're more in the business of selling books than they are in trading.
Well, what was funny, I had a student who brought me one of those books, and the very first thing that was said in the first passage was, if you really plan to invest real money in the market and trade actively, you need to go to a good school
right.
that teaches you how to trade.
It makes sense because the markets are complex, but for,
right.
you know, and you need to learn this from a person who knows how to do it. But for me, I was cheap. I went to Barnes & Noble. They had that whole huge financial section there. And I read the inside of the covers of those books. And boy, they sounded good, you know. And I left with two books that day. And I read them. And then I went out and opened up an E-Trade account. Now, I chose, it was between E-Trade or Scottrade. The commission fees were the same. So I chose E-Trade. I decided on E-Trade because I liked the babies. Remember the talking babies in those commercials?
Right.
So that's how I made that business decision. But I funded the account with some disposable funds. The book told me to fund it with disposable funds. How many people are listening to my voice right now have disposable funds? Money that you, I mean,
right.
go give it to a charity if you've got disposable funds. Don't go out and trade the markets, but that's what the books tell you to do.
Right.
That way, if you lose your money, you don't feel about yourself. You don't feel bad about the book.
Right.
And then I started to trade. And, I put all my eggs in one basket. I had a simple buy and hold type of a strategy. I wanted to make 20% of my money. Well, the very first trade that I did, I knocked it out of the park, and I literally doubled my money. It was a company called Southern Copper, and it just blew through my target. I had a target that I was going to sell it at.
Right.
Bought it at 20, I think it was 26, and I wanted to sell it at 31 and change, would have been the 20%. But it just blew through the target over the course of about a week. And I had my back turned, so I didn't see it happen. And I just thought, man, that went up fast. And I knew that I should stick to my rules. But then, you know, there's a part of me that's having a pretty good time.
Yeah.
And thinking, you know what, I'm pretty good at this.
Yeah.
And so I let it ride, and I sold it for $46.57. The second trade that I got into was a stem cell research company. And President Obama was new in office and, of course, changing a lot of things as presidents do. The first 100 days, they're scrutinized on do you live up
right.
to your campaign promises, whatever. So they passed some legislation that loosened up the laws governing stem cell research. Well, guess what happened to the price of that stock, Matt?
Well, I would imagine if they loosened that up, it went up.
Right. It went through the roof because there's 39 million retail traders out there that have read these books, and the books say watch the news.
Right.
And if there's a positive change in the industry, go out and buy stock in that industry. Now you got a bunch of buyers that are competing against the limited number of shares that are available from willing sellers. And, of course, they have to increase their bid price to attract new sellers.
Right.
That drives the price up.
Yeah.
And boom, 3 weeks later, I've doubled my money. Well, now I think, oh, my gosh, man. And I'm walking around the house telling Allison how lucky she is. She might quite possibly be married to the most intelligent man in the world. And, you know, and I come across this penny stock. Now, this could be, we don't have enough time in the segment for me to tell the whole story, but it was a company that I loved because we actually used this company when Joel was born. And this company, what they did was they cryogenically froze stem cells that you would extract from a newborn baby's umbilical cord. And we used it for Joel. And anybody that has been a parent holding that baby for the first time, you know that there's not a deeper love in the world. And that nurse walked in and asked me if I'd like to do this. And, of course, every cell in my body as this kid's father is telling me that it's my job to protect him and make sure he's got a great life. I didn't hesitate not one moment to hand over a credit card for the $1,800 to this company to cryogenically freeze. And I ran across this company when I was looking for a stock to trade, and it was trading for 0.7 cents per share. And I got to looking historically at the price chart, and in 2007, that stuff was trading for about $1.50 a share. And I just thought, Matt, you know, why don't I buy 100,000 shares of this?
Yeah.
And it's just, it comes back to exactly what you were talking about. It would only cost me $700.
Right.
And if it goes up to $1 a share, now suddenly I've turned $700 into $100,000.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking, well, why would I settle for $100,000 when I could have $1 million?
Right.
That's only $7,000.
Right.
Money that I did not have in my E-Trade account. And isn't technology wonderful? With a few keystrokes, you can transfer $21,000 from your emergency savings and into your E-Trade account. And then I had a 3 million share position of that stock. Penny stocks, they do weird things. And the board of directors, they make funny decisions. And this particular one decided they wanted their stock because they wanted to trade on the regular exchange. But you've got to get your stock price higher to do that. So they did a reverse split. That means they're going to pull shares off the market. The idea here is they're manipulating the supply. If they remove the supply, the demand stays the same. Prices are going to shoot up.
Right.
But it never works that way because investors don't like having stuff taken away from them.
No.
And literally overnight, just with the announcement that the board was thinking about doing that reverse split, everybody started selling it off. And I missed the announcement. It came in, it went into my, you know, I've got one of those email accounts, I think everybody does, where you just collect junk, right?
Right.
It's become that account. Right. And that's where the correspondence went, and I missed it. And literally overnight, half my money's gone.
Right.
And I'm new to it, you know, and I'm thinking, well, now what do I do? Do I sell this position? And what if it goes back up tomorrow? It went down overnight by half. What if it goes up by half?
You know, right.
Of course, Dow would have to go up 100%. So I just hung in there, and I watched it go all the way down, and I lost every single cent of that from that penny stock.
Yeah, that's the last penny stock. As you were telling that story, now that I'm an educated trader, and you are also, I mean, there were probably a dozen common mistakes that you made, things that we talk about in our trading workshops.
Listen, everything about that was wrong. If you want to hear the epitome of what not to do, use that as the example.
Right.
I chose the wrong asset to trade. I chose trading it for the wrong reasons. It was an emotional reason to buy it. It was an unstable asset, an unregulated asset. I wasn't managing risk in any way, shape, or form. It was nuts. But we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about it a little bit more. Hey, stick around here through the break, because I'm going to give some of you guys some pretty cool free education. Yeah, Matt, you said you thought I made maybe a dozen mistakes from that fiasco of a penny trade. You know, one of the mistakes that I made is that I can tell you right now that from a risk management standpoint, that what do you think? That I jumped out of the plane without any kind of a parachute, didn't I?
Right.
Thinking, you know.
Again, we never want to have a big loss, and professional traders never have a big loss. And that was one of the mistakes that you made was, as you mentioned, that was not disposable income. That was income from an emergency fund that you had.
Yeah, and a lot of it.
Right.
Yeah, a lot.
That's definitely one mistake.
It was half of the account.
Yeah. And again, we teach at Online Trading Academy, when you're brand new to this, you never want to risk more than 1% of your trading account per trade.
On any trade.
On any one trade. And again, you risked 100% of your account on one trade.
I risked more.
Did
than,
you have any? Stop
I risked
at
more
all?
Than one. More than 100% of my E-Trade account.
Right.
And then I'm digging into funds that Allison and I had set aside in case, you know,
no.
There was an emergency that, you know, if we needed the money in it. So we had about $35,000 in that account.
Right.
And I took 21 of it to stick into this and put all of it on this penny stock.
Now, and again, we don't want to do that. Another thing that struck me by your story that I hear quite a bit of by novice traders and investors is you mentioned in the beginning that one of the reasons you bought it was trading at 7/10 of a penny per share.
Right.
Okay. But at its high, that stock had traded at $1.50 a share.
Ish, yeah.
So in other words, to you, that was low. You were buying low, right? And I see this mistake all the time. I remember a few years ago, one of the examples that I use when I teach the power trading workshop is Sprint. Which peaked at $76 a share in the year 2000. Well, there was a gentleman that disputed with me during a workshop that I was teaching that he was saying that Sprint would be a good buy now. Now, this was a couple of years ago when it was trading around $10 a share. And I asked him why he thought Sprint would be a good buy now. And he said, well, because it's low. It was at $76 a share
right
at its high, and it's at $10 now. So obviously this is a good buy. You know, just because something is trading at a lower price than it has historically does not mean that it's a good buy. If that gentleman left that workshop several years ago and bought Sprint, he would have lost a fortune. It fell even lower, all the way down to, I remember, in the upper threes it was trading. And today
right.
it's around $8 a share, I believe. Just because something's trading low doesn't mean it's a good buy. And that's another mistake that you made, because it was trading so much lower than it had previously. You thought it had to go up, right?
Right.
Nothing has to go up. And by the way, companies file bankruptcy every day in this country. Just because something is trading at a low price does not mean that the price has to go back up.
No. And let's think about why price might be low. Well, if the price is low, it could be here. The bottom line on price in the markets, if you want to know the secret sauce, is that prices moved around by supply and demand. It's if a stock is popular, like Apple is, for example, Apple is wildly popular with investors, and especially Apple enthusiasts. If you own an Apple Watch, then you want to own Apple stock too.
Right.
And but that's what causes their price to go up. A couple years ago, it went all the way up to $500.
Sure.
Okay, so now it's trading for $125, $150 a share or something like that, I think.
Yeah.
The reason why, though, is because Apple split the stock.
Right.
So their stock is still just as popular, but what they did was they added additional shares to the market. They added additional supply.
Right.
So that diluted the price, and it caused the price to drop down to a lower level. And they did it because they wanted to continue to attract
right.
that demographic that likes the Apple Watch but also wants to own some of their stock.
Yeah.
Those people are, you know, the average Apple Watch wearer probably isn't going to go out and buy 100,000 shares of Apple stock at $125 a share, but they might buy 10.
Right.
And that's the people that they like to have on board with them. And when they produce that additional stock, when the stock sells, who gets the money? Apple gets the money, don't they?
Right.
So they produce money from just manufacturing this product that doesn't really, I mean, it's an equal equity in their
right.
share. So that causes price to go down. So after a split, is the price undervalued, Matt? No, it's
no.
not, because they've diluted that price
right.
by flooding the market with additional supply.
It's the opposite of what you mentioned before. So companies often do a split because, especially with larger companies like Apple, the price does go up after the split. But in the example you had given before, it was a reverse split. And like you said, shareholders don't like to have shares
taken
away
from
them. And so that often causes price to go down.
Yeah, in a split, and if you own 10 shares of Apple stock and they do a regular split, let's say they just do the standard 2-to-1 split.
Right.
So they're going to double the shares that are on the market. Well, they're going to double yours as an investor. They know that this is going to impact your investment.
Yeah.
And I think by law, too.
Yeah,
they have to double the shares that you,
shares,
twice
yeah.
the shares. So you, why do you care? Now you got 20 shares that are worth $58 a share, as opposed to the, you know, 10 shares that are worth 100. And
yeah.
I'm not doing the math, but you know, understand what
no,
I'm saying.
And a split is actually good. I mean, that usually is good for an investor.
No, because it's an indicator that this company is stepping in and they're doing something to regulate the growth of the price because it's going too fast.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in the medical industry, for example, let's say that you're a CVS drugstore chain, and then your main competitor is Walgreens. Well, they're both publicly traded. And if your stock, let's say your CVS, and CVS has done something that really attracts investors over to you, and so now there's this competition where the buyers are upbidding their bid price to, you know, try and get their share of stock because they really want to own it. Well, they drive the price up to, let's say, $80 or $90. Well, now suddenly your stock has been priced at a place where your demographic customer that would buy that stock probably can't afford it.
Right.
And you want to remain competitive with the competitors in the market because now people are going to start looking at Walgreens and wanting
yeah.
to buy their stock. So that's one big reason why these companies will do a split and then manipulate that price. So when they do a split, though, and you say, oh, gosh, price was up here at $500, but now it's down here at $100. Oh, this must be a bargain. not necessarily
no.
so. Because this split could have occurred. Yeah, I mean, you got to get more information.
Right, right. So, and obviously the emotion of greed kicked in on your trade. Both of the examples, actually, that you gave. So the first one, remember, you had set a target
yep.
at 20%.
Both of them were supposed to be 20%.
Blew past that. And then, you know, when price does go up, we want to hold on to it because we think it's going to go up more, right?
Exactly. And for me, you know, in the first two examples, because I didn't have a lot of money on those, it wasn't necessarily greed because I wasn't going to get rich on it. But what it was an ego thing. Yeah. I was patting myself on the back and really proud of how smart I am and how good I am at doing this. And there was a part of me that didn't want to leave the trade because I was having so much fun watching yeah. it go up. And it was those types of things. And that's the type of things that gamblers do in
exactly.
the casino, don't they?
Yeah, and that's what you're really doing. And I was thinking the whole time is you're just turning it into gambling. And, again, occasionally we win when we gamble. But if we gamble long term, we almost always lose.
You know, and probably one of the biggest things that in looking back at it, because one thing I did learn from reading these books is that you need to have rules. And you need to be staunchly disciplined and follow those rules. And, you know, the first time I let that trade go past my rule of getting the 20% return that I wanted, the first time I did not sell that at 20%, suddenly that rule just disappeared from my mind.
Yeah.
I don't no longer need that rule. And that's what hurt. It helped me on the second trade because I doubled
right.
my money again. But on that third trade, it allowed me to lose much, much more money than I was willing to lose.
Yeah.
So there were so many mistakes that I made on that trade. I didn't have any type of a way to limit the loss on it if I was wrong about it.
No, that's what I was saying. You didn't have a stop loss on the trade.
Right. I didn't have a predetermined idea of how much money I was willing to lose if I decided to lose on if I was going to lose on the trade. The thought of losing didn't even enter my mind. And in fact, at that point in time, I was so naive, I thought that I'm so good. I knew that a lot of people, even pros, would lose on a trade. But I thought, I am so good at this that I'm never, ever going to lose on one trade.
You'd figured it out.
I'm going to bat 1,000 in my trading account. That's what I thought at the time, and I was determined to do it.
Yeah.
And if I ended up getting in a losing position, I had made up my mind that I'll just hang in there until price recovers.
Right.
Not thinking that there are times when price just never does recover.
Right.
Hey, if you want to learn more about what it is that we're talking about here, of course, we're talking about some big mistakes that I made early on after just reading some books. But the best way to learn how the markets really work is to attend maybe one of our power trading workshops. And I'm going to give, a handful of you the opportunity to do so here on the break, which we're getting to do, ready to do right now. So just stick around. Welcome back to the final segment of Power Trading Radio. I always feel a little melancholy at this juncture because I like doing the show so much, and we're getting ready to say goodbye here in a few minutes.
Yeah, but, this has been a really fun one.
I really love doing this show. I know Matt does too, so we want to, of course, give a shout-out to our loyal listeners, and then those of you who are brand new, welcome aboard. We hope that you set your calendar and think of us on the weekends and maybe tune in for an hour or so. And spend some time with us. We appreciate it. You're the ones that keep us on the air for these many years that we've been doing this.
Absolutely.
So we'd like to, with your permission, keep doing it. So tune in. Please tune in.
Yes.
So we can otherwise, we don't get paid. So somehow we've dedicated this show to one of the biggest and stupidest decisions I've ever made in my life and the worst trade that I've ever made in my life, which really ended in a catastrophic. For me at the time, it was a catastrophic loss of $21,000 when I decided I had found the get-rich-quick scheme
right.
of a penny stock. And so don't trade penny stocks. I guess that's number one. But then we've also been talking about a lot of the things that I did wrong as a trader at the time.
And, yeah, and those are universal to all asset classes. It doesn't matter if you're trading regular stocks
right.
or Forex or futures
right.
or options. Those are very common mistakes. And by the way, in the workshops that we teach, we go through many of those mistakes and give even more examples. And then, more importantly, we discuss the solutions to those mistakes.
Right.
Right?
Exactly. We go into so much more in those workshops because we really truly go very in-depth into, first of all, how do you identify a trade that you should be taking? What attributes are there to that trade? Low risk, high probability, high reward. How do you identify that? And then how do you manage the trade afterwards?
Right.
How do you manage risk? How do you identify low risk to start with, but then how do you manage that risk as you're trading? None of which I did as a novice trader. And, you know, the funny thing is that I, of course, have been in education my whole life, worked for colleges and then corporate education. And I kind of know that complicated, complex subject matter requires some hands-on training with it. You really need a live person who's an expert at it teaching you how to do it. Reading a book maybe isn't the best way to go out and compete in the markets against these large banks and institutions who put their people through years of training, spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on each individual, making sure they can navigate the markets. But I'm sitting here. Of course, I had stopped trading because, well, I was losing all that money, and I didn't want to lose money again. But also, I was deflated over the whole thing emotionally.
Oh, no, it's very depressing.
And I got a letter in the mail from Online Trading Academy and junk mail, and on the envelope it said, "Learn to trade using our money." And I thought, well, now that would be a better way.
Somebody else's money.
Right, than losing my money. But it wasn't only my money, it was my wife's money, too. And so I ended up at the Trading Academy, and that's what got me started trading down the right path of being able to trade, so much so that I ended up leaving, retiring at age 48 and trading full-time for a while until I realized that I wasn't ready to retire. You know, the life of a trader, I think we started this show off talking about you get up in the morning. I get up in the morning, and I do it before the U.S. stock market opens. But I'm sitting there having my coffee, and by the time I'm done with my first cup of coffee, I've set up my four trades.
Right.
And now the software trades for me. I set it, forget it, and leave. Well, now what do you do with the rest of your day? And, well, you know, for probably 3 or 4 months, I did an awful lot of golfing and boating and that kind of stuff. But my golf game didn't get much better.
I can attest to that.
Yeah, I know. It became increasingly clear that I was never going to make the seniors tour. And so, but I just wanted to get back in the workforce. And I had the opportunity to buy an Online Trading Academy franchise and jumped in with both feet, head first, however you want to put it, and have never looked back and have loved what I do at the Academy.
Yeah, and everyone here is so passionate about it. And that's one of the things we hear on our student evaluations just consistently week after week is how passionate all the employees are. And most of the employees at the locations trade themselves. So we put our money where our mouth is.
Right.
I know that at our location there's only one person who does not trade, and that's basically the person who greets you when you come in, the receptionist. Every other employee trades. But I want to get back to a point that you were making earlier. Trading is the only occupation where most people do things backwards. They open up a trading account first and invest their money before they have any idea what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. That's the number one way that retail traders try to learn.
It's amazing to me. Any other field, like if you wanted to be a doctor and make the hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars that a doctor makes, you would never consider doing that first, right?
You mean like opening your office and then putting pulling out your scalpel
and operating on people and charging
people
them
up
to do it? So of course not.
Right.
You understand going into it that there's, hundreds of thousands of dollars actually in education in that field.
Can you imagine
that before you can even do
it? Honey, I learned an awful lot today taking that appendix out of that guy.
Right.
First time I've done one. But I think next time I won't kill somebody.
It's just amazing to me. Each week here, literally, I meet with dozens of new people who have learned to trade that way, and they've opened up an account having no idea what they're doing, total speculation.
Yep.
They bust out that account, which means they lose all of their money.
Yep.
They open up another account, lose all of their money. I had a gentleman who enrolled in our program a couple of weeks ago who busted out four accounts, lost everything before he finally decided to get some education. And the only reason that we would do that, right, is because we don't want to spend any money, right? Or we don't want to invest the time that it takes to get educated. But I'm here to tell you, to become educated and perform better than 98% of retail traders who trade is actually not very expensive.
It's not.
It's not. And when you compare it to the cost of any other education, I see students at this school every week who have over $100,000 in student loans for an absolutely worthless degree.
Yep, I've seen it too.
There was no way to get a job.
I've paid for it.
Even the ones that do get jobs don't earn very much. Some of them just earning in the 30s. You know, why not spend a few thousand dollars to get an education that can change your life? I mean, where you literally can make, you know, or my most successful graduate makes $30,000 a day. I mean, this is life-changing.
It is. So. You know, if you're intrigued with it, you've been listening to the show today. We've got one more break. Well, it's not a break. It's going to be at the end of the show coming up. And during these commercial breaks, and then right at the end of the show, I provide, well, a few of our listeners the opportunity to get into one of our introductory workshops. Because, you know, there's only so much time that we have on the radio to teach people. If we could do that four-hour workshop in an hour, I would do it for everybody to learn the stuff that we teach in that workshop. But we designed the workshop so that if you're brand new to this, if you don't know a stock from a stick, you're going to be able to learn from this workshop. Because I think what is intimidating to a lot of people is just the language of the markets.
Right.
They think, I don't understand what this prospectus in my mutual fund means, so I don't think I'll get that. A lot of people think it's going to be boring. It's not boring.
No.
Trading is one of the funnest activities in the world. You get up in the morning, you make 20 decisions, you queue those 20 decisions up in your software, in your computer, you set it, forget it, walk away, and then you could have your software send you a text message and tell you how much money you made if you wanted to. Or maybe you wait till later or the next day.
You can have an email sent to you.
Sure.
I have an actual alert that's set on my computer itself that sounds like Stephen Hawking.
Right.
You hear it all
I
the time.
I hear it all the time. Word, yeah. And because I keep thinking, who's he got in there? You know, who's he talking to? And then, but it doesn't take a lot of money to get started doing this. You could start with as little as $2,000 in a 4X account. It doesn't take a lot of time to do it.
No.
Whether you're trading to supplement or replace your income. And as far as your long-term investments, you are nuts if you are not actively making decisions and trying to figure out how much money you need for retirement. More importantly, that you don't have a plan to get there. One of the other local radio show hosts here that has a financial show, he said he made this statement, and I'll plagiarize him, I guess, but if you don't have a plan for retirement, well, you might very well be planning for failure in retirement. And you got to have a plan. You got to know what you're doing. But these workshops are a great place to get started. If you are already trading or trying to trade, and you just don't know kind of what you're doing, you're struggling to generate profits, maybe you're out, you're losing money consistently, see if you can get into one of these workshops. We could probably fix you in that 3 or 4 hours that you're sitting there. And then if you want to manage your long-term stuff, or at least have an educated, educated conversation with the person that's managing your portfolio.
Yeah, be able to manage the person who manages your portfolio.
Right. This workshop's awesome, too. And the things that we're going to show you how you make money in the markets when the markets go down. We'll show you how to make superior returns when the markets go up. We'll show you how to insure the money that your long-term accounts so that you never have to lose another money. Even if we have another market crash, we'll explain to you the difference between ETFs and mutual funds, what's the best thing to invest in. We'll teach you more about your 401k, how to better manage that type of stuff.
How to choose a broker.
How to choose a broker. How to pick a stock that you might want to trade that day that would have the attributes of low risk, high probability, and high reward.
Yeah,
there is so much stuff that we go through in that workshop. But if you're new to it and you attend it, we get it. You're there to kind of try the shoe on for size, see if this type of a profession would work for you. If you're experienced, we get it. You're trying to fix some things. For either one of you, it's a perfect thing to do. And I'm going to give away a few more here in about 20 seconds, but for now, need to kind of wind things down for the week. So, hey, listen, I want to invite you again to set your calendars. Tune in to us again next week. We'll be on the airwaves, same exact time, same channel for the most part. And we would like to invite you to check out our website at tradingacademy.com. Well, it's so long for now, but hopefully you'll be there for this next week.
The preceding program was sponsored by Online Trading Academy of Kansas City.